This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. That is not Wes Durham. That's Eric McClain. Wes, of course, on assignment. We got Chester. Fuller's back over here. Captain Ron, Rob. And, of course, Otto is back in the Christmas decoration room, which is basically empty.
Empty.
Other than, of course, the ESPN equipment, which keeps this thing afloat.
There's a cooler back there, too, right? Ooh. Or a refrigerator.
Fridge. Yeah. Mrs. P's beer is back there, so Otto's keep an eye on that. We've got an air conditioning unit on the electronic equipment to keep everything nice and cool so we can do our thing. All right, welcome, everybody. It's a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show. What's up, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, man. I have to start with you. What did you do last night? I know what you did.
Well, you should have known.
No Succession.
I know.
Were you sad? I mean, we were sitting there watching Tom Brady just really move the ball down the field, score a lot of points.
Yeah,
we scored as many points as Tom did last night.
That's it. Can't spell Tom with a big O.
That was tough. But how about the ending of that show?
Succession was fantastic.
If you haven't watched it, check it out, please.
Yeah, HBO.
Unbelievable.
Great stuff.
Unbelievable.
It was a weird Sunday. That's normally, I'm not a TV nut, but that's normally part of my routine is watching Succession. And last week was the finale, so you and I were fed like kings by Mrs.
Yeah,
P last night.
Come on.
So you're up there in the Eric McClain suite.
That's right.
And Mrs. P had fresh baked apple pie and some spaghetti last night, so we loaded up.
That's right.
We carved up.
Big carb load for the show. Yeah. Everybody getting ready.
We jumped in our respective chairs, pod, and we watched terrible NFL football last night, watching the Tampa Bay try to score.
That's right.
Looked like South Carolina in the Palmetto Bowl.
Come on. And I finally got to go back down to Charleston, first time since September, so that was good. Spend some family time down there, and man, it's just the best time. Christmas, holiday season. We've got basketball. We've got bowl games. What else do you want?
That's about right. It's
maybe
hard
a little
to
better basketball would be nice.
Right, yeah, we'll get to hoops. I mean, we had some good and some bad from the weekend, but we'll get to all that.
We got football.
We got basketball to attend to. Best of the weekend, worst of the weekend. Brendan Marks of The Athletic is going to join us next hour. And then Alanis Williams from Wake Forest, who is off to a blazing start. He's going to join us in the Power Hour. And, of course, we'll take phone calls wherever we want to go. Schedule-wise, from a programming standpoint, we're going to do regular shows this week. We're not going to do a Christmas Eve show live. We will be live, though, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then next week, we're still rocking and rolling. We're down in Atlanta, God willing.
Come on.
Huddle's going to be down there.
You're getting out of the basement, man.
They're going to allow me one more road trip before the year's up to get out of here, leave Mecklenburg County, take off the ACC network. Take off the ACC network ankle tracker so I can leave Mecklenburg County, head down to ATL, and we'll see what's up with Pitt, Michigan State. Bowl season starts next week for the ACC. 10 teams. We'll get into all that today. Right, we're going to do a little bowling today, too.
That's right.
So that's the deal.
Come on.
But, man, it was good having you at the house again last night. You're staying over tonight because you're hanging out here tomorrow morning.
Double time, man.
And then Kelly Gramlich's going to make her debut here in the basement on Wednesday. So she's going to take over at the Eric McClain suite.
There we go. You got the Gramlich and McClain podcast hanging out with you for 3 days.
I know. So we got Mrs. P's got vacancies available outside with all the Christmas balls and lights and all that kind of stuff. So the more the merrier.
There
so
you go.
She's coming over.
Come
to hang
on,
out.
Man. That's big time. That's
How about that?
Time. That'd be fun. That'd
so
be fun.
Kind of a Clemson connection this week.
You got to turn that suite quick, man.
Well, we do. We're going to have to fumigate it once you get out here Tuesday, and get that.
I'll strip the bed before I leave. I'll make sure it's right.
I know you're that military background. I know how you roll. You'll be all right.
That's right.
All right. Let's get into some stuff though. We kind of had a mixed bag with hoops.
Yeah.
We'll start with hoops. And we'll get in all the games, men and women. There were some good stories. There were some not so great stories.
Yeah.
But one thing that is still messing around with all of us is COVID.
Yeah.
And Eric, you know, there were 32 teams that had either paused or had cancellations via the weekend. And we had that effect on the women's side with the Miami Duke game. But it's just another reminder to all of us while we're in the Christmas spirit and holiday spirit coming up this week and next week. We're still in a pandemic, and you got to be smart. You got to be careful. And, we're seeing spikes all over the place. But, man, college hoops really feel an effect of COVID.
Yeah, and just, folks having to reschedule, change schedule, move things around. And as you said, just a reminder to, do your thing, but be safe. Be cognizant of what's happening in the world. And, man, these young people that are, going through it right now, is it a little bit of that PTSD? Oh, games are starting to get canceled. We're moving this around. We can't practice. All these different things. So I wonder, is there some you know, do some new, you know, litigation coming from the ACC office? Are we going to change how we approach things because the virus has changed yet again, and we just don't know? So it's going to be very interesting moving forward. You know, what does this process look like for having to forfeit games, cancel games, move games, what be you? So it's affecting everybody clearly. And it's going to be interesting down the line what happens.
Well, we saw it with Florida State's game on the men's side. Syracuse has had to postpone basically two games. I mentioned the Duke-Miami women's side totally got zapped. And we're talking about a forfeit there. And again, I know this is going to be debated. Coach K's not real thrilled with the idea of the forfeiture. And maybe that's something that needs to be looked at again. Yeah. If you can reschedule, especially if it's a conference game. Mm-hmm. If there's a way to reschedule it, I think you try to do that.
Yep.
But I know that's going to be tough.
Yep.
But it's just another reminder, I think, to all of us that, you know, we went through a football season, really, for the most part, that people got back to tailgating, kind of enjoying life the way it's supposed to be. There was only one or two games, to my knowledge, that got affected. I know the USC-Cal game at the end of the year had to be rescheduled to later in December. But really, for the most part, we went about our business as usual.
Right.
And folks were careful. If you wanted to go to the games, you could. Now, all of a sudden, in basketball, though, we're seeing these spikes and – it is a concern. Yeah. I mean, I think we're getting to the point now that, hey, it just seems like the new variant's out. Like I said, there were 32 teams over the weekend that were affected in some shape, way, or form around the country, and it just seems like it's starting again.
Right.
And basketball, unlike football, when you start talking about, hey, I got 12 dudes, let's go, and now all of a sudden, bam, half your team's wiped out, that's a problem.
It's just so different. And, you know, when you have such a small number and this thing's affecting people so differently, so it seems like it's so much more contagious. And, you know, how are people going to handle it? You know, already hearing some schools up north, you know, are moving to that full online for next year. So how many people are going to be affected? What are folks going to do moving forward? It's an interesting time. But just to, you know, again, remind everybody, be safe, do your thing, and let's get through it together.
Coach K said, quote, "I do not like the forfeit thing, and I don't like the fact that the two teams are not tested the day before, the night before, like we did last year." And it might be something that needs to be readdressed one way or the other. And I think everybody's got to handle it the right way to make sure the safety is the number one protocol here. But, you know, to assume that, hey, there's nothing to see here, let's move on, that's not the right tactic.
Right.
You really got to be smart.
And I think the name of the game this entire year and a half, 2 years that we're going on now, has been be able to adapt, be flexible, be able to change quickly. And so we have protocol in place. Well, protocol might need to be updated. It's just things that we've seen happen time and time again that it's just the world that we live in.
Yeah, no question about that. By the way, speaking of Coach K, I don't know if anybody's heard, but he's retiring at the end of the year.
Wait.
Yeah.
He's
this year? K's, it's it. But we're now getting into conference play. He's done with the non-conference slate. And when you look at his numbers of what he's accomplished, I mean, you know, listen, the guy's an all-time legend in coaching, period, not just college hoops. But when you go through his non-conference career numbers, it almost looks like a typo. It almost looks like, well, these idiots back in Bristol typing up the stats, that can't be right. But look at these numbers a second.
Crazy.
Overall, 491-60. At home at Cameron, he lost 11 times. Somehow he lost 11 times.
Right, magically.
305-11. Neutral site, 79% winning percentage. Hey, you're a top 25 team, you're pretty good. That's cool. Watch this. I'm going to beat you 71% of the time. First 3 years, just okay, 62%. Since then, pretty good, 91% winning percentage. 468-46. Those numbers are stupid.
It's incredible. How about more than half of the losses were to top 20? Like, I mean, great teams. He's not just losing to slouches.
But no, he doesn't lose, period.
It's unbelievable.
And I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. Now, you always want to go out in style, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're an announcer, a player. I don't care what you do for a living.
Right.
And you look at what their team looks like right now. Now, I know they just destroyed Elon. They finally found somebody they could play after this COVID thing. They had to cancel. Two games got zapped, Loyola, Maryland, Cleveland State, and they finally found Elon. And they blew West Durham's alma mater out in about 20 minutes. I tell you what, though, man, if you watch this team play, they've got size. Yeah. They've got athleticism. Right. They have youth. They've got some experience. Yep. They're playing terrific defense. And I'm going to throw in another thing that I'm not happy to say. The league's down.
Right.
I mean, we're getting now to conference play. Eric, when you take a snapshot of the league, and we're going to go through all of this today on the show. We're going to do bowl games. We're going to do college hoops. You take a snapshot of the league, right? Virginia Tech was really good Friday night, blowing out St. Bonnie. They play, by the way, Virginia Tech Duke on Wednesday. Wake Forest is off to a great start. I was sold on North Carolina in terms of their trajectory.
Right.
Then I watched them Saturday and went, yo, what are we doing here? I mean, when you take inventory of the league, how many games do you see Duke losing?
Right. I mean, it's incredible to see. You talk about how complete they are and the team that they are. Shooters, length, size. And I think really the veteran leadership that we've seen from these guys, even young guys that have just stepped up, has been very impressive. And you have a freaky freshman that, you know, he's kind of cooled off a little bit from such a hot start with Banchero. But it's interesting to look at that schedule. I mean, are you talking about 2-3 losses? Are you running the table? Are we looking at
these
guys, what they're able to do? I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'm not going to go there because it's just that's hard to do for anybody.
Any league, right.
But, you know, the league, I think one of the topics we're going to get into not only today but during the week is right now, who's number two? I know we do accounting. We've told you how impossible it's to do ACC hoops right now with accounting. But who's number two in the league?
Right.
I mean, we do get some answers, I do think, Wednesday night when Virginia Tech, who I think is really good, plays Duke. But the Blue Devils are playing here. Everybody else is trying to figure things out down here.
Right.
And I know it's middle of December. It's not March Madness. We still have a long way to go. Duke will get better. Everybody else, hopefully, will get better as well. But who's the second best team in the league? Is it Wake Forest?
Right.
Have you seen enough sample size in terms of quality opposition to say, hey, Wake's the second best team?
Yeah, I think when you look at their schedule so far, who they've beaten, the Virginia Tech win is very impressive.
Blew them out.
But that's maybe it. When you look at who they play, quality of opponent, so it's like, maybe right now we put them there.
But, I mean, it's Hokies.
But in 2 weeks, then what? Exactly.
It's Hokies. Is it exactly. Deeks? Is it North? I mean,
is it still North Carolina?
It's hard to say North Carolina with what you saw Saturday because they were, I'm going to be honest with that.
You make 1-3, it's hard to beat anybody. And they were awful.
I don't know what that was Saturday. Yeah. I mean, they got smoked. Right. And so, I mean, it's an NC State. They lost Friday night. They now lost Richmond. Back-to-back games to non-conference opponents. Right. First time they ever lost to Richmond. I don't know who's ready to take the mantle to say, hey, Duke, we're the team you got to deal with.
Exactly.
Because right now, Duke looks like they're on just another stratosphere versus everybody else in the league.
Right. Do you think it's going to be a – when that loss happens, it's inevitable to happen. Is it going to be, okay, we probably saw that, or just what the heck
happened? I don't
know. What the heck happened?
I'm not worried about Duke because I'm more concerned about
everyone else.
What else is the league going to do?
Keep going.
I mean, you know, last year we had the Glob, which had like 5 or 6 teams that we did know, like the middle of the league. Right now, today, the Glob is about 3 to 14.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what this league looks like.
What's bigger than a Glob?
I got to come up with a new word. Because Glob was like a handful.
Two Globs.
No. It's going to be a new name for it because I don't know what it is.
Gosh.
But it is a mess. It is a total mess. Mm. But we got a ton of stuff to get into. I mentioned that Brendan Marks of The Athletic will join us around 8 a.m. Alanis Williams from Wake Forest will join us on the Power Hour. Talk about the Wake Forest hot start. They had a big buzzer beater win against Charlotte on Friday night. But when we come back, though, we're going to talk hoops. Right, who is the second best team? We're giving Duke right now, middle of December. They're the team to beat in the league. But who is number two in the ACC? We'll get into that. Women's hoops, football, we got it all covered for you this morning. Eric McClain filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Wes is out all week.
Traveling man.
He's thawing out from Fargo. He'll be back. I think he's back here in 22. I think when he walked out the door Thursday, Pack, I'll see you in January. All right, Wes, catch you. Whatever's going on.
New year, new me. Here we go.
I'm going to throw a question to our audience, and then we're going to dive into it. Here's the question. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. The question is, who is the second best team in men's basketball in our conference? Anybody? Anybody got any clue? I'm giving Duke right now the leader in the clubhouse in the middle of December, right? They're the best team.
Right.
Who is the second best team?
This
second.
I'm going Wake.
Wake Forest.
Very impressive win over Virginia Tech, who I think a lot of people would say is number two. So common sense tells me they need to be ahead. Now, when you look at their schedule, it's not a bunch of impressive teams and impressive victories except for that Virginia Tech win. And I think that should matter. I think you got to give them credit there. And then it's Virginia Tech right behind them. But they did just play. We did just see that.
Well, it's hard to argue that Virginia Tech should be in front of Wake because, right. like you said, there is a thing right. called scoreboard.
I think it was a 19-point game.
It was a 19-point win at Blacksburg
right.
on the road. So that's, to me,
right.
is impressive.
Right.
Now, it's small sample size.
Sure.
If you take a look at the schedule, take a look at the standings, as we pointed out last week, you're going to see a bunch of four L's plus.
Yeah.
I think 11 of the 15 ACC teams on the men's side have four or more losses.
So, I mean, you kind of do have two globs here, Pack. You got the four loss and then the five loss.
I said last week, in my adult life, I've been covering this league a long time.
That's crazy.
I've never seen this before.
That's wild.
Ever seen this before. Just look at the L's. And now we're going to start weeding out the non-conference play, getting into conference action. You'll start seeing some games coming up on Wednesday. But, man alive, your guess is as good as mine. I'm just telling you. I'm going to ask a question. Who do you think the second best team in the league
is? We want to hear, people. Come on.
All right. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
And are you with me in Wake?
Yeah. I think that you, by process of elimination, based on what the eye test is here after right. a dozen games.
Ooh, the eye test. Be careful.
But what else are you going to use?
It's going to get some people going.
It's better than BPI, FPI, or whatever all that nonsense is.
Free Packer information.
That's it. Here's some free Packer information. I think Duke's the best team I've seen from the league. But Wake, you've got to give the nod over Virginia Tech, in my opinion, just because of right. what happened in Blacksburg.
Right. And then Carolina or Virginia Tech?
I was
higher
on North Carolina until I attempted to watch whatever they were doing Saturday in Vegas. What happens
game.
In Vegas stays in Vegas, I hope is the
hopefully
case.
Hopefully it stays Carolina. In Vegas. I mean, can't make a shot, can't defend, can't stop anybody.
I didn't understand it. I didn't know who
weird.
Those guys
were. You're wearing black uniforms, supposed to be really cool. Yeah. You like the black uniforms.
No, I do not. I do not. All right, let me give you some scores in case we get you up to speed for the weekend. Friday, there was some good news because Virginia Tech, I thought, was out of sight. Yeah. Now, they played three games right here in our backyard at the Spectrum Center, and Virginia Tech jumped all over St. Bonnie. And the Bonnies are pretty good.
Yeah.
And they're a quality club. And right. Virginia Tech treated them like they stole something. Mm-hmm. They beat them by 100.
Right.
And I'm like, now that is the Virginia Tech team. That team shows up, watch out. Again, Virginia Tech Duke on Wednesday coming up. It's an important game. Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and you got a lot of effort from Virginia Tech. I mean, getting after it, creating turnovers, getting easy buckets. I mean, these guys are veteran-led, fantastic coaching staff, and you know, you think that will win out, right, and they'll emerge as this second team. You talk about who's it going to be, and you see those qualities that, okay, there's grit, there's toughness, there's experience. Normally that wins out.
Here's what else I like about Virginia Tech. They've played at Dayton. Underrated, tough place to play. Mm-hmm. They didn't win the game, but it's like, I mean, that game, that kind of game helps you.
Right, gets you ready.
They lost a game. They lost back-to-back games 2 weeks ago against Memphis, a game they could have won and mm-hmm. didn't, and then Xavier, who's proving to be legit, mm-hmm. all right, Big East. And, you know, they look back at those games and mean, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
But I think that kind of prepares them. Now, then you throw the Wake Forest score in there and you go, well, then why is Virginia Tech – why so high on Virginia Tech? Mm-hmm. I just think they've got the components. When they won at Maryland in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, to me that was a sign of mental toughness. I thought those games kind of prepared them for that. And now they're going to go to Duke
right.
Wednesday. It's legit. Crowd's going to be great. Duke's playing lights out. They're the best team in the league. You don't want to start 0-2 in the league. They're looking at down the barrel. Mm-hmm. However, I still am buying Virginia Tech. If they're right. stock, I'm buying the Hokies.
Yeah, I don't know the stat off the top of my head. I should have looked this up, but I think the Hokies like seeing a number one or number two Duke. I think they have pretty good success against those guys.
Well, nobody has a whole lot of fun at Cameron.
Sure. I mean,
we just went through sure. Coach K's non-conference schedule, and you know what? I hate to break the news to you. He's not batting against
That's
the
right.
ACC either.
That's right.
So from that perspective, would that be an uphill climb? It will. But I do like the toughness of their team. Yeah. Talking about the Hokies. Again, right. We know about Duke. Richmond beat NC State Friday night. Not thrilled about that one from the ACC perspective. State had a lead early. Richmond dominated the second half. For NC State, man, are they going to give me the first 30 minutes against Purdue where they took the number one team and said, hey, we're up double digits, let's go win? Mm-hmm. Or do you give me the sporadic fake left, go right, and what's up with NC State? I mean, right. I think NC State's going to give you nights where you go, wow, that's a good-looking club. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to give you also some nights you go, what's going on here?
Right.
Right. They could be a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team.
And do you think a big reason of that, when you lose such a great player, when you lose your best player, you know, guys still figuring it out? I mean, we are, you know, 11, 12 games into the season. I think guys still, when you have a guy that you expect to be everything for you, he's gone. Now we're kind of seeing real time. Other players have to elevate and figure it out.
Well, Sebron's been great.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude is just a freak now. He's a twitchy. How do you defend him? He gets to the rim at all times. 6'8". He's been fun to watch.
Yeah.
But NC State, again, Jekyll and Hyde. Wake Forest, we talked about. They had a buzzer beater. You'll see that on the best of the weekend coming up next hour. But, man, you got to love what Forbes has done in Winston-Salem. Goodness gracious. Double digits in wins already. Yeah. Only one loss. He lost to LSU. Yeah. He's a good club. So the Deacs might be that number two team. That's why we asked the question, 844, say ACCN, who's the second best team? Then you got scoreboard from Saturday, which was a mixed bag across the board. I mean, it was all over the place. We showed you the Duke highlights, no surprise. They found somebody to play. They beat up on Elon. Georgia Tech lost to USC. If you haven't kept an eye on the Pac-12, you got three really, really good clubs. UCLA's out of sight. They're going through a COVID pause as we speak. Arizona's good. And USC, they really have three top 10 teams. Jackets have struggled against top 10 opposition. Mm-hmm. Pastors guys go down and defeat on that front. The North Carolina-Kentucky game, I don't even know what was going on.
It was bad. It was bad.
I mean, there's no excuse. You right. know, at what point in time did you turn that off if you're a North Carolina fan? I would guess that when it got right. down 35, that might be time to go walk the dogs,
yeah.
go do some Christmas shopping.
Get some, I mean, is that what you did? Walk me through. Walk me through you watching this game.
Well, you know, even early, I got a sense of, hey, what's going on here? North Carolina, right. again, the one thing we talked to Armando Bacot before they left to go out to Vegas, and we talked about the week that they just beat the daylights out of Michigan
right.
in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and they went on the road to Georgia Tech. I thought their defense had improved greatly. But in this game, it was a layup drill. It was a dunk yeah. or a layup drill yeah. for Kentucky. And I just didn't see it. North Carolina looked like they were just kind of out of it.
Right.
No excuses. I mean, you get Kentucky thumped them. I mean, that was looked like men versus boys.
Yeah. And it's tough because that's a game, okay, everybody's going to be up for. Everybody's going right. to be excited. This is a tournament type game. And then when you fall that flat, you're turning the ball over. You can't make a shot. And the guys are just getting to the cup in Kentucky every single possession, it feels like. It was almost this insurmountable momentum that even in the second half, I mean, I think Kentucky scored 58 in the second half, just kept going, did not take their foot off the pedal.
North Carolina dominated on the boards, which has been a traditional
– right.
It's kind of a part of the North Carolina DNA is, right. hey, on the offensive glass, it's ours.
It. Yeah.
They just got beat up, man. Right. That was just one of those – Hubert Davis got – he has so much material – to watch and say, guys, let me explain to you how we're doing this.
Yeah.
So it was an ugly weekend, but for North Carolina, hopefully you bounce back.
Yeah.
I was high on the heels until what I saw Saturday. Pitt got a great win against St. John's, basically at the buzzer. We'll get into some of this on the best of the weekend. Virginia Cruz passed Fairly Ridiculous, which was great. Indiana beats Notre Dame. I can't figure out the Irish. old team. We talked right. to Mike Bray. They beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then, and again, Indiana's a good club.
Right.
Irish are sub 500.
Yeah. Jordan Cornette, not happy. His son, Joey Cornette, is now going to Indiana. Shea Pepler, IU grad there. They kind of had a bet on that game. I think Jordan was really confident, and his future is now determined by a score. It's unfortunate.
I don't know what to tell you. South Carolina scored against Clemson, which is a good
first
news for
time.
Columbia. Wow. But some things never change. Clemson right. beat South Carolina, blows them out in the second half. Louisville does not have Malik Williams. Without Malik Williams on the road at Western Kentucky, Hilltoppers were excited to see the Cards.
Yeah, they were.
It was not pretty. Louisville has Kentucky this week. Got to get ready for that. UCF Florida canceled, Lehigh Syracuse canceled, so you're kind of up to speed with what happened over the weekend. Women's side, though, good news. Speaking of Louisville, they played UConn. Yeah. Anytime you play UConn in women's basketball, it's a big deal. And Jeff Walls and the Cards were 1-15 against Louisville until yesterday. And guess what? Haley Van Lith, Chester's favorite player, goes off. Went off. And here's what Jeff Walls had to say after the big win against UConn.
It was really just trying to keep our composure. You know, we played UConn a ton of times throughout the years in the Big East, and it's kind of what they do. They come at you hard for about a 3-4 minute stretch, and then before you know it, it's a 10-0 run or a 12-0 run. And we were able to withstand that. I didn't have to call timeouts. Our kids we settled in. We started the game 1-for-9 and really rushed some shots. But then after we got our composure, I was really pleased with how we played at the offensive end and defensive end.
Great win. Here's the Sunday scorecard for the ladies' side. NC State bounces back after a disappointing loss to Georgia early in the week. Louisville-UConn obviously is a major showdown, 6-7. Jackets continue to play well. Coach Fortner's got it rocking and rolling. Notre Dame looked terrific against Pittsburgh. North Carolina with a massive comeback in the fourth quarter comes back to knock off BC. And Virginia Tech with Elizabeth Kitley, who was on the show, gets the Packer and Durham bump. She goes off for 34 as the Hokies take care of business against Florida State.
She's pretty good, man. I got to tell you, when we were at Virginia Tech earlier this season, the huddle, we traveled and saw Lane Stadium and all that. We saw the women's team practicing. And then, you know, Liz walks through and she's just like, whoa. That's a different,
she's a baller,
different cat right there. She's good, man.
Coach Brooks got a good club.
Fun to watch. That's right.
Let's take a quick call before we go to break. Jamie is in Virginia and joins us this morning. Jamie, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, fellas. First and foremost, happy holidays. I hope you guys' families have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and holidays.
Same to you.
Just want to say, you know, it's probably the second best team I would think would be either Wake Forest or Virginia Tech. As painful as it means to say that as a UVA fan, but I think, you know, since the two played each other, I'd have to go with Wake Forest. And if I could just say one quick thing is, this is the first time I spoke to y'all since the Tony Elliott hire. I just think that everything I've been reading about him, I am absolutely thrilled about the hire. And but anyway, that's just my take. And like I said, I just hope you guys just have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Jamie. You too. Tony Elliott, want to speak on that real quick?
Yeah. First of all, I love your basketball take. I think you're head on there. And really with Coach Elliott, you know, just waiting his time. And, you know, a guy that had many opportunities, turned down the Tennessee job, had many others years before that, and, you know, just wanted to wait. Very methodical in his process and you know, such a cerebral guy that he thinks through some, even this Virginia deal. I mean, it took a little longer than probably some would have wanted, but I think the fit is a grand slam. I think the fact that Tony understands not everybody can go to Virginia. Not everybody fits at Virginia. But we're going to get the best of the best, and they're going to come here and be able to have success right away. I think that it's a great situation. It's on a side of a league that any given year somebody can rise up and be champions, as we saw 8 different, counting Notre Dame in the COVID year. And I just think the fit's going to be fantastic. Going to be interesting to see what his coaching staff looks like. You know, Virginia was a very unique beast offensively, and the things that they do, I guarantee that will – there might be shades of it just because personnel-wise for a couple years, but they're going to be much different on that offensive side of the ball, and it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see how does he go about running his program. The first 2-3 press conferences I've seen, it's a little Dabo Swinney. I mean, everything that he said, and he's learned a lot, and he's going to be great, and just a great man that I'm excited for his next steps in this opportunity.
Yeah, he's a quality. Like I said, he's an easy guy to root for.
Oh, no question.
He's just a first-class guy. I liked what he said, though, last week in the press conference when he said, my job's not to make Virginia Clemson. We're going to make Virginia the best version of Virginia. And that's exactly right.
Exactly.
He understands the academic brand. He understands, hey, here's what we can do. Facility upgrades coming their way, obviously, with the money that's been generated. Carla Williams with the master plan. I think with the way Virginia likes to think from an academic standpoint and what Tony represents in that department, mm-hmm. and he's really not a football coach.
Right.
I mean, he's a brilliant guy.
Right.
And he just happens to coach football on the side. Yeah. From that perspective, he's getting paid handsomely to do it. But all of that marriage makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
It really
does. No doubt. And I thought you said something about the facilities there. I thought was very intriguing about his press conferences when he said, you know, that's great and that's a part of it, but we have to get everything else right to kind of earn that and to understand that, you know, once we get to that point, everything that went into it. And I think that's what, you know, some people – you know, kind of forget about Clemson is they're like, man, all these great facilities. That's how they won a national championship.
Wrong.
They won all that beforehand. Now, the indoor, sure, that was a product and that certainly helped. But that big palace that they have now, that was after the fact. And those guys had to understand and get to that level. And then you kind of reap all those fruits of that labor. So it's going to be great. I can't wait to see it. And very excited for Coach Tony Elliott.
All right, we'll switch gears to football. Jimmy, appreciate the phone call. When we come back, we'll talk bowling. Starts with BC, 1 week from today. 10 ACC teams are bowling, and we will start breaking them down for you. Eric McLean, he's filling in for old West Durham. You guys right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and West Durham.
Oh, look at here. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, ACC Network and the ESPN app. Guess what? We've got The Huddle Preview Show. You heard me? The Huddle Preview Show. Cornette, Eric McLean, Rick, we got everybody.
Come on.
Maybe EJ might make an appearance. He's a busy man this week.
He's going to be busy, baby. He's going to be busy. Excited for my guy.
That's it. We got 10 ACC teams playing in bowl games. Got breakdowns. We're going to break everything down you never wanted to know. Every bowl game imaginable.
That's right.
With all 10 ACC teams.
Can't wait, man. Come on.
All right, get ready. That's tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on ACC Network.
Can I borrow your jet to get back home to do that show?
The Ford F-150. No, I don't have a private jet. No. I got a Ford F-150 getting about 12 miles a gallon. That's what I got.
Does it tap out when you get to 80 miles an hour?
It'll push it. Downhill, it'll go. I mean, Tiger Woods could have used it yesterday getting around.
No, he was good, man. How about Charlie Woods, by the way?
How about Boston College football? How about we do that? I mean, you know, Charlie Woods and the boys, they didn't win anything yesterday.
That's true. Second place. No one cares about second place.
Lost a bunch of hillbillies. First loser. Yesterday. That's it. First loser. Let's talk about Boston College. Next week, 1 week from today, BC, East Carolina Military Bowl.
Yep.
Djurkovic back next year. Jeff Hafley coming off a really nice recruiting season based on rankings, huge, if you're into that.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of momentum with this program. Yeah. Tons of momentum.
Absolutely. And you talk about winning a bowl game. What does that mean? How much momentum does that build? It's interesting, Pack, to go back and forth with some people that believe in it, some that don't. As a guy that never lost a bowl game in my career, I can tell you going into, you know, those off seasons with a big W was huge. It was a big time thing that our team just kept building on. And so this is a great opportunity for Boston College going against an opponent that, guess what? They want to throw the football in ECU. They're going to throw it a bunch. It just so happens Boston College's pass defense is one of the best in the country. And, you know, I think Coach Hafley has done a great job of implementing his DNA into this team and getting them to buy in defensively of, we can be one of the best. We can get guys in here. We can develop. We can have scheme. And then offensively, just getting out of a rut. I think that's kind of my biggest key for Boston College, especially going into this offseason with their guys. You're losing a bunch on the offensive line. That's going to be a new five up there next year. Christian Mahogany, maybe Vrabel. Those two are the only ones coming back. How can you build on it? Keep making connections with your boys, A. Flowers, and just really get that offensive going. The last time we saw BC, very underwhelming. I think Phil was a little banged up. We know he was sick. Whole team was sick, and they're thrown into the wind. Just wasn't good. So offensively, Pack, I need to see Boston College be much better.
BC's offense failed to score 17 points in six of their last eight. Yeah. They're going to need more than 17 to beat East Carolina.
Right.
Would you agree?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And for a lot of those games, Phil wasn't there, so it's a different team when he's on the field. But when he was, I think of that Virginia Tech game, and the last one that we saw against Wake Forest, you've got to be able to move the ball. You've got to be able to score. I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but it was a very poor day throwing the football against Wake Forest. And that's what they want to be. They want to throw it. They'd love to be balanced. They found a run game, but Phil's got to be ready, and those guys have to bust it open.
I mentioned when we did the promo for your Huddle show tomorrow night, that was in the preview of the Bowls. 10 ACC teams are bowling. Now, I don't want to open up a wound here, but I'm going to.
Last season,
and again, last year's last year, but the ACC went 0-6 in bowl games last year.
How many?
0-4. 0-4 anything is ugly. I mean, that was ugly. 0-6. Now, there's 10 going.
Right.
All right. BC's got a chance to kind of set the tone, hopefully, for the rest of the league.
Right.
I expect him to play well. I got to be honest with you. I'm buying Halfley. I'm buying what BC's building. I think East Carolina's done a nice job, too. Again, having spent many a Southern Fried Football Tour in Greenville, North Carolina. That's a fan base that loves its football, and they have done a tremendous job. They've had a really good year.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good matchup because I think – and here's why. I think both teams will care.
Right.
I can't say that. We've already had a handful of bowl games if you watch this weekend. A team like BYU, for example, top 15, thinking, man, we should be better off than being in an Independence Bowl.
Right.
I think sometimes you get teams that are not excited to play. We've seen opt-outs, which we'll get into. But to me, these bowls, when you start talking about all the games that are not either the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl, right, who has the want to? Who is in the mood to play?
Right.
If it's not a New Year's Day Six Bowl or a playoff game, all these other 700 bowls, who's in the mood? I think both BC and East Carolina will be excited to play.
I agree with you because it's just – it's another opportunity. I think a lot of people need to think about this. It is a very rare thing to play college football. It is a very rare thing because you have such a low amount of games, very limited amount of games. So any time that you get to wear that helmet with your school – it's a blessing, and it's a great opportunity, and I guarantee both these teams, as you said, knowing their coaching staffs, knowing their players, will be jacked up and ready to play.
I think both of them fall into the category of, hey, we haven't established anything in terms of, hey, we're used to winning 10 games every year. Maybe this is a down. You know, you can get that attitude sometimes, like, oh, man, we really just don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And you've heard that a bunch in the past because there's so many games. But I think both these programs are ascending. And I think they both sense that, hey, this sets us up for 22.
Exactly.
And when you have matchups like this, these are normally the ones you should pay attention to because you'll have motivated teams. And I think Phil Jurkovec, after the amount of time he lost in the season during the injury, now has a chance to come back and has already stated, hey, I'm coming back for 22.
Right.
This, for him, hey, guys, let's go out and win.
Exactly.
And you mentioned an offensive line that's been together forever. The last go around, I expect
it's going to be special for them.
Yeah,
I
think BC is going to play well. I'd be very, very surprised if they do not play well next year.
Ben Petrula, a guy that started 50 plus games. Zion Johnson, I think, going to be the first guard taken. And then, of course, Alec Lindstrom. That core right there has played a lot of football together.
Sure,
they're going to want to go out on top and feel really good the last time they wear a BC jersey. So I think the motivation is going to be a big time factor. Overall, the health of Jurkovec, can he throw the ball 50 yards downfield? Does his arm feel good? Does his wrist feel good? That's going to be a big key in this. And just getting that offense going, finishing on a high note going into 22.
And really, to be honest with you, from a league's perspective, we kind of need Boston College to get off to a good start.
Set the tone.
To just kind of eliminate – because last year was just
– yeah,
it was like the black cloud that kind of hung around.
It was horrible.
Man, what are we doing here? 0-6. You got to win one. You get out of bed once and get one somewhere in the bowl season. Get one. So hopefully BC can set the tone next week. Quick break. We come back. We'll look at the Commonwealth.
Come on.
That's it. Virginia Tech. Two new coaching staffs going bowling. There have been some opt-outs. We'll get into all of that coming up next segment as we take a look at the bowl season ahead for the ACC. It's Packer and Durham. Eric filling in for Wes. You guys on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCM. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. All right, Commonwealth, we got two new coaches. We just talked about Tony Elliott, Coach Pry rocking and rolling at Virginia Tech. Everybody's getting ready to pack up, go bowling to baseball stadiums.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. We're going to Fenway Park.
Is that not weird? How about three ACC teams playing in baseball stadiums?
Hey, man, it's better than sitting on the couch, I guess.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. What stadium would you like to play in? Not the Giants. Probably the Dodgers, right? That's your.
I would probably say Yankee Stadium if I was a fan. I'll tell you why, because there's a better chance of not having a pole between you and the stands. I mean, you and the field. Because you got a Fenway, man. Fenway, you could have a seat with a steel beam between your legs.
This is such a great view. I can
this
see
this is great. Everything. I think we got the ball on the 40. No, it's there. No. So I'd say I'd rather be at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and that was my answer, too. I think that one's – it's just so iconic, and I'm not a huge baseball guy anyway. So.
Well, I am.
I know you are. So I'm kind of disappointed in your answer. That was kind of the average fan answer.
Yeah, but knowing my luck, I'd get the ticket behind the pole. I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm one
I'm
of
really
21,000 here freezing my you-know-what off, and I got a pole between my legs. Steel beam. Nothing like it.
So exciting.
Oh, tremendous. All right, so let's go football-wise. Both teams going through some transfer issues, right?
Yeah.
Two new coaching staffs. So you got to figure whoever shows up with a jersey on and will be motivated to play.
Got
to impress the new bosses.
That's what I think. Before we dive into each matchup, I think that's a huge piece in this game for both of these guys is the fact that you're auditioning for 22. This is the first snap. These practices, you know, I'm not sure. Clearly, Prize there more than maybe Elliot. You know, Elliot was kind of back and forth. I'll be there if it's not a distraction. I assume he's going to be there. I mean, you are auditioning for next year. You are putting your best foot forward or wanting to, and this is your first snapshot. So what are you going to do on the field? What effort are you going to put forward? That's why I'm pretty excited effort-wise for both of these teams, and I think it's not going to be a situation of, oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to play in this game. Just knowing and understanding what you can do for yourself moving forward in 22 individually. It's one thing as a team, but now individual, when there's that added bonus too, you've got to think guys are going to be motivated.
Virginia ended the year on a 4-game losing streak. Broncos going to go on to bigger and better things. Tony Elliott, we've talked about. Since their last game, which was not a good one for Virginia, transfers on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We know Armstrong's coming back for 22, which is great news for Tony Elliott.
Yes.
But what do you expect from these guys, right? I mean, this is kind of a dice roll here for Virginia, don't you think?
It really is strange because, okay, skilled players are going to be there. That's great. But you're missing some key pieces, some really key pieces on that offensive line. And maybe even the defensive side, guys are opting out. And the weird thing is, do they play? Do they not play? We've seen guys in the transfer portal kind of heard some rumblings that Coach Mendenhall has said, well, even if you're leaving, you can play in this game because of circumstances. So – it's going to be weird. Who's going to run out there? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know who's going to play. The one thing is I think Brennan is going to play. I think he's going to be available. So you feel good about your chances. And going against SMU in a opposing quarterback in Mordecai, that really two of the most productive quarterbacks in college football this year when you see what offensively they want to do, it should be fun. But like I said, Who's running out there? I don't know.
And here's the other side for SMU. Rhett Lashley goes from Miami to SMU. So you know SMU's going through the same deal as Virginia. Hey, I got a new boss.
Exactly.
Time to impress, right?
Right.
No more slacking off, boys. Yes. Let's get to work. Yeah. So I don't know what you're going to get from Virginia's effort here. Defensively, they were kind of a train wreck all year, right?
Bad.
But offensively, they were spectacular.
Right.
Win whole.
Throwing the ball.
Win whole.
I need to see a little bit more effort running, but I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm
but hey, you. When BA's back there slinging it, man, come on,
waste time running.
We'll get to the rushing attack. Guys are wide open. I got targets all over the place.
That's right.
Now, for Virginia Tech, though, you've seen the wide receiver core leave town.
Depleted.
Right? Depleted. Braxton Burmeister over the weekend says, hey, I'm opting out.
Right.
You got a new football coach, Coach Pry. So what do you expect from Virginia Tech? I mean, really, both Virginia schools – while going to be enthused about the new head coach and stuff, have serious issues heading to the bowl game.
Yeah, it's very similar situations. I think when you talk about notable guys and guys you know and understand, here you go. I mean, guys that aren't playing, and I can even throw maybe one more name into that list with, Tanoda, the big tackle. You know, is he going to play? I saw that he is going to the NFL. It wasn't clear on if he's going to play or not, but your two best wide receivers, your quarterback that has done the most for you, a couple of defensive linemen that are fantastic. Jermaine Waller, one of the best corners in the entire country. The only positive that I really have for that pack is those motivating factors. Those guys that are coming back are now getting a shot. So you've got to think they're at least going to play very hard. Now, they might not be as good as those guys, but they're going to play with unbelievable effort. in wanting to secure a spot in 22 and really impressive coaching staff. So very similar thing as Virginia. I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to be out there. We'll tell you game day, and then we'll kind of reassess, okay, do we feel better about these guys? Offensively, you and I went back and forth about VT, it seemed like, all year. One of the worst offenses in the league, maybe the worst offense in the league in terms of what they can do through the air, what they can do on the ground. You would love to see a spark, any type of momentum going into 22 of this is the team that we're going to be moving forward.
Hokies will play Maryland. To me, I think that helps. I'll tell you why. Because that's the old ACC. That there's a little cross-section there.
Right.
You know, Virginia and SMU doesn't appear to have any kind of connection one iota. Right, but Virginia Tech, Maryland is
familiar
a little
foes. Familiar foes.
You know, you're liable to run across somebody at the water cooler on Monday that's a fan of the other guy. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, I always think that helps.
Right.
In games like this, where you're like, oh yeah, we're going to see somebody we used to see all the time.
Nice little rivalry. Nice little rivalry.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you guys left the league. We get it. You took the money, and great. Now we're going to go see in a baseball stadium. And let's go play. And the other thing too, Virginia Tech, after that incredible stretch of going to bowls every single year, they've lost three consecutive bowl games.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff at a place that matters when you go to bowls, I think they're ready to get rid of that.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. And just get that taste out of your mouth. I mean, it's hard when you get on these streaks and it's just like, man, we can't break it. We can't break it. We can't break it. You have great opportunity here. And to be able to do that, get back to where Virginia Tech football is supposed to be. I think we see that defense play inspired. That core of linebackers are going to play out of sight, out of mind. Really just get it going. I think if they can create turnovers, create short field position for this struggling offense, you feel much better about their chances.
Well, I think both these teams, Virginia and Virginia Tech, with new coaches, and like I said, SMU's got a new one too. A lot of times in these ball games you watch it, sometimes it can be lifeless.
Right?
I mean, kind of go through the motions. Yeah, let's just get this. We got our swag stuff. Let's get out of here, right? And we're good.
the swag bag.
But you know what I'm saying? But you've been through this stuff before. But I think you'll see some enthusiasm and excitement for both Virginia and Virginia Tech for the sheer reason that, guess what? We got, you know what? Camera don't lie, man. That new coach is going to watch all of this stuff and go, guess what? 83 ain't getting it, or 65 looks great, or whatever the case may be. So I do think there'll be some momentum and some enthusiasm from both Virginia Tech and Virginia in these games.
Right.
Regardless of who's ready to play.
I agree with you. And even in practices. I mean, that's where bowl can get just dragged out a little bit. And you're like, man, we're hitting each other. It's like we're in camp again. But for these two reasons, you better play your tail off, because this new coaching staff is going to watch that very attentively. They're going to see it. They're going to know, okay, this guy gives great effort, this guy doesn't. And they're going to move on. They're going to make that decision early going into spring ball. So I'm right there with you. This should be two fascinating games effort-wise and want-to-wise.
All right, we come back hour two, the pre-power hour. Brendan Marks is going to join us from The Athletic at the top to talk about these dudes right here in Durham. And let me tell you something. This looks like the team to beat right now in ACC men's basketball. We'll get into it with Brendan Marks coming up next. EMAC filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham right here, ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.